Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, September 15th, 2020, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book study meeting. Today's readers are today, let's see, The 12 Steps, Reggie O., Reading the 12 Traditions, Dory P., Being support this morning would be Randy M., Laura R., Elaine B., and Robin T. So grateful for that. And today we are reading from the Big Book. Let me tell you where we are. We're in the chapter, Bill's Story, on page 5. We're in paragraph 5, and it begins with shortly afterwards and ends with seem near being just that. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book study meeting, that would be Monday, the 14th of September, 15349, 15,349. And then this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book study meeting for Tuesday, 9/15/2020, 15355, 15,355. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and then to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Reggie O. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Sorry, Mel.
Reggie,
there
you are.
Getting...
Hi.
Good morning. This is Reggie O., and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over compulsive eating, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Great to be of service this morning, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Reggie O. Reggie O. is from California. I will now ask Dory P. to please read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dory P., compulsive overeater from Georgia. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service board or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, and the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you very much, Dory P. from Georgia. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet recording, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. And that would mean the star 1 key function only, please. And please don't sit in queue waiting for your turn, please. That just also interrupts with the recording process, as we have found. Thank you so much for that consideration. Today, we resume the study of, Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 5 in Bill's story on paragraph 5. What did I say here? Page 5, paragraph 5. And it begins with, shortly afterward, I came home drunk. And then ends with, near being just that. And I'd like to ask Brandy M. to please read that particular paragraph and unpack it for us with the directions that are in there and share her 3 minutes of experience on that, and then we'll open it up to the other fellows. Hey, Brandy, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Melanie. It's Brandy M., recovered compulsive eater in Alberta, Canada. Shortly after, I came home drunk. There had been no fight. Where had been my high resolve? I simply didn't know. It hadn't even come to mind. Someone had pushed a drink my way, and I had taken it. Was I crazy? I began to wonder, for such an appalling lack of perspective seemed near being just that. Oh. I can absolutely relate to Bill in this. You know, where had been my high resolve? So many times in, you know, my journey in this program, it's, you know, I was, Brandy was deciding and managing how she was going to not eat. And so, you know, when I would go out to occasions, I would go out with good intent. It was like, I'm not going to eat that food. Or, you know, I will just eat veggies and protein. And, you know, I always had these big ideas in my head going into situations. And when I left those situations, I would ask myself, how did I have the cake? How did I have, you know, the chips? How did I have that? Like, I went in with such good intentions. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's like my restless, irritable, and discontentness is going to come up, and I'm going to grab for the food because that's my automatic reaction. My automatic reaction is to, where is the food? I need ease and comfort. you know, and it's like, this is self-will run riot. Like, this is what we do time and time again. And then we start to think we're crazy, you know, like, how come? But in my disease, I can't differentiate the truth from the false because my mind will tell me this stuff's okay. You know, it's okay. Somebody else is doing it at the party. Why can't I? Like, I'm sure, you know, I've seen my sister moderate and, you know, she's really healthy and stuff. Why can't I? You know, and at the end of the day, it's like, because I'm a compulsive overeater and it's about accepting who and what I am. Today, I know that I can't walk in on high resolve. I need a spiritual program that's going to arrest my compulsive eating and, you know, and look at the spiritual aspect of things. You know, I lack power. And so when I walk into a situation, I have no power unless I have God. And so today, the beautiful part of this is today I can walk anywhere. I'm a free woman. I can go anywhere and I can, you know, be neutral with food. And what does that mean? Neutral with food? It means I don't think about it. I can even serve the cake and not even think about it, you know, and that is solely contingent on my spiritual fitness. If, you know, there's certain things I need to do every day to keep in that place of neutrality, and it's about working this program of action outlined in the big books and taking the steps I need to take every day to, you know, not get back into that I'm going to control things, I'm going to make things better, because I know that I lack power when it comes to food and, you know, life circumstances. And so, you know, God's going to give me that power. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Brandy. It's Brandy M. from Canada. So I'd like to open up the lines now for additional comments on paragraph 5, page 5 in the big book, which is Bill's story. If you would like to give me your name, the first initial of your last name, I can put you in the lineup. I would like to ask, though, however, we do appreciate everyone's experience here. But if you've shared recently, we'd ask that you not. And the requirement, well, listen to me talk. The suggestion is to share every third day. So if you shared on Friday and Monday, consider that maybe tomorrow would be your day to share rather than today, to give room for other people to share their experience, strength, and hope. And if you give the state that you're from, people can look you up to call you as well. So I'm ready to take a lineup.
Donna B., Colorado.
Roz G.
Hi, Roz. I got you, Donna. I got you, Roz.
Deb E.
Hi, Deb.
Catherine C.
Catherine C., did you say?
Yes.
Good.
Toby in California.
Hey, Toby. This is the lineup I have so far, and it's Donna B., Roz G., Dev E., Catherine C., and Toby A. Let's start here with Donna. Hi, Donna. You have three.
Good morning. This is Donna B., spelled D-A-N-A, in Denver, Colorado. There'd been no fight. I can think back before I came into OA and before I came into recovery, so many times that I made those sweet promises not to binge. And it seemed like there was no fight, that there was nothing within me that could stop me from pursuing, you know, once the idea dropped into my head, and in More About Alcoholism is an italics line, like the thought crossed his mind. Once the thought crossed my mind that I was going to eat, there was no fight. There was nothing that was going to stop me. When I began to try to fight the impulse is when I realized how powerless I really am. Today, I'm very grateful to be entirely abstinent, not only from my alcoholic foods, but also from volume eating. That plagued me for a long time in the rooms of OA. It's been over 2 years since I've volume eaten, and there are still times, usually between 8:30 p.m. and 10 p.m., my life sort of quiets down and I'm sitting on the sofa reading a book, that I feel this sense of emptiness, that I want to fill myself up, but I want to volume eat. And today I have resources. I pray. I ask God to relieve me of the obsession with food. And I begin to reach out to my fellows with honesty, transparency. I understand that I will never, ever, ever win against even the most mild-mannered thought that crosses my mind when it comes to food. If there's a thought, then I'm immediately praying and reaching out to my fellows just to say, hey, I feel like volume eating. And once I reveal that truth to my fellows and to my higher power, I'm no longer alone. And sometimes the desire to volume eat passes immediately and sometimes slowly, but it does always seem to pass. And I'm deeply grateful for that. Thank you.
Thank you much, Donna B. And all of a sudden, I've forgotten the state that you said you were from. Roz G., you're up next. And I know she's from California. Hey, Roz.
Good morning. This is Roz G. I'm from the high desert, Palmdale, California, and I'm taking a walk, so there may be a couple of cars driving by, so the background noise is that. Lack of perspective. I'd like to talk about that and geographics, meaning, you know, if I'm on vacation, and I heard this, you know, somebody share on this a few days ago, it doesn't matter where I am. I take Roz wherever I go. I take my heart, and I'm talking about like my vital organs, okay? I take my heart. I take my digestive system. I take my metabolism. I take my brain. I take me wherever I go. But the compulsive eater disease in me says, oh, you're here now. You're in this other place. You know, I have a friend that travels the world, and he says whenever he goes to Italy, he just lets his food go. It's not a compulsive overeater, but he's like, Italy's the place. I mean, I'm not going to follow my diet there because it's like everything you could imagine and dream there. So, well, okay, if I ever travel to Italy, man, I've got to try a pizza. I just have to, period. That's where they originated. You know, that's crazy. But to bring it back down to me is that, okay, my cousin is a wonderful baker, and she made these amazing zucchini muffins, okay, from her garden and everything. Well, it's fresh. It's from her garden. But there's sugar in it, and I eat the thing. This is, you know, not now, but a while back. And I totally lost my perspective. Healthy perspective says that I take myself wherever I go. And it doesn't matter where I am. My disease lies within. It is a part of my mind. It starts with the thinking. But my thinking needs to remember, with staying in fit spiritual condition every morning, all throughout the day and at night, that I am a compulsive overeater, that the disease is progressive, and I'm not going to be a new person and grow new legs. I still have the same ones. So it is appalling to think that if I travel somewhere, that I can go ahead and try something else somewhere else. That is a appalling lack of perspective. The truth is that I have a food plan, and I can adjust it to wherever I go, meaning that I stay within the boundaries of the ingredients that are on that list, and I'm safe and protected. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Rose G. from California. Deb E. is up next for 3 minutes, and then Catherine C. will follow you.
Hi there. This is Deb E., now in Israel. And this paragraph really reminds me of that dance between the high resolve, the all the promises I'd make to myself to never binge again, to never eat sugar again, that things were going to be different from now on. You know, the dance between that thinking and then all of a sudden finding myself in a binge again and just being baffled at how that happened. And this first sentence, shortly afterward, I came home drunk. It doesn't say I came home and, you know, I had a slip. I just had a sip of alcohol. Because that's what happens, right? If I open the door to one bite, one compulsive bite, all of a sudden, it's a full-on binge. And I can't, and then I'm gone until I'm out of it. You know, that's how it was for me when I was in the food. And it's so good to remember this because it's so easy, I find, to forget after, you know, over 18 years of neutrality around the food. Like sometimes I'm baffled when I think back to how I'm like, how did I do that? And I need to remember how I did that so I don't go back towards it. I feel like every sentence, this paragraph has a lot to it. You know, I simply didn't know. I didn't know. I couldn't understand how I always ended up back in the food. It was beyond my comprehension. And it's not that I've not smart enough to figure it out. It's just, it was that powerful and baffling. And it's like, you know, someone had pushed a drink my way. That's all it takes. All it took was for it to be in front of me and for me to not, you know, it talks about there had been no fight. And I look at that two ways now, you know, like there was, now my fight is to hold on to my connection to my higher power, to hold on to working the steps on a regular basis. My fight is against the addiction that's always trying to get me down. But then it was this fight kind of against myself because I didn't understand what I was up against and what I was fighting against. I didn't understand how powerful and cunning the addiction was. I didn't understand how if I just let one morsel of something, any of my, binge foods in my mouth, that was it, you know, it was over. And was I crazy? You know, this makes me think we always talk about how insanity is repeating the same behavior over and over and expecting a different result. And yeah, it was kind of crazy because I was stuck in that cycle. And
time.
Okay. That's good timing. Thank you so much. Bye, Beth.
Thank you, Deb. That's Dev E. Catherine C, you're up next for 3 minutes and then Toby will follow you and then we will open it up again for comments on paragraph 5, page 5 in Bill's story. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, I'm from Mississippi. This paragraph is interesting to me because I just ate a regular dinner last night, took a small amount, and then took another little small amount. And it wasn't even any of my trigger foods. It was just a delicious dinner that my husband made, and I knew I had to be careful, but I don't know where my high resolve was. It didn't even come to my mind. I was so enjoying the meal that I was compulsively overeating, even though I didn't eat a whole lot. I could see it. I could, for the first time, it seems like I could see that I was an overeater because I'm new to the program and I keep looking up almost every day. Am I a real compulsive overeater? Because I can't believe it. And it not even being one of my trigger foods last night, it just being a good meal, I was like, oh my gosh, I really am an overeater. And you know, I'm going to have to work on stopping, calling my sponsor. I didn't realize until it was over what I had done. And I couldn't believe I would do it with something that wasn't sugar. So I'm just learning. And of course, I have to go to my higher power when I'm in that danger zone, but I don't know. I still just need to keep working at it. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Catherine C. from Mississippi. Toby A., you're up next for 3 minutes, and then we're going to open it up for additional comments. Hi, Toby.
Hi, Toby, compulsive overeater. This paragraph definitely hit me. In the paragraph right before, he talks about, I could not take so much as one drink. I meant business. And then in this paragraph we just read, there had been no fight. Where had been my high resolve? You know, I had a period of abstinence in OA before and recovery. And there's a person in my family who always gave me a hard time about my weight, told me I had to, lose weight, blah, 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 blah. And this is the same person who would push a drink my way, Somebody pushed a drink my way. She would just say, hey, it's Christmas here. What am I going to put in your stocking? I have to put something in your stocking. And pushed that poison my way, because I don't, I look at this recreational sugar stuff as not food. It's poison. It's poison for me. And pushed that my way, and my high resolve was gone. I was just like, oh, it's Christmas, I'll just, eat this. And I was drunk again. I gained back all the weight I had lost. I lost my abstinence. I went back out for years. I don't want that to ever be me again. And so, I don't have high resolve now. I have recovery. I don't have, somebody earlier said I could serve the cake, I wouldn't volunteer to serve the cake, but if I had to serve the cake, I'm like, that would be like, hi, I'm handing out poison to other people. I'm not going to eat that poison. What I have now is not high resolve. I have the steps. I have the program. I have this meeting. I have working the steps, not just going, oh, there's the steps. Aren't they nice? I can read them. Like, I work them. I have to work them. And I get the recovery that so many people in this meeting have. Which is that I have no interest in putting poison in my body. And I know what the poison is for me. I'm just so grateful for this meeting. That's really all I have to say. I love this meeting. I love this paragraph just definitely hit home for me. And thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Toby A. Where are you from, Toby?
California.
California. Thanks a lot. Toby A. from California. Okay, the lines are open for additional comments on page 5, paragraph 5, starts with shortly afterward, I came home drunk, and then ends with seem near being just that. And we do value all your shares and all your experiences here, but we do ask that if you would limit your share to every third day so that others might be able to have their experience shared on the line as well. So I'd like to take a lineup of a few more people. If you give me the first name, the first initial of your last name, and your state, so folks can contact you if they'd like.
Michelle J. from Arkansas.
Michelle J. from Arkansas.
And Kathy M. Ireland.
Kathy
Marilyn
M. from Ireland. Marilyn K.
From
Kathy Z. from Washington.
Oregon. Kathy what from Washington?
Kathy Z. from Washington, Z as in zebra.
Thank you. Kathy Z. from Washington.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron G., New York.
Aaron G., New York.
Sherry Josie, California.
Sherry Josie, California. Let's go
Robin
with that
P.
and see what happens from there. Robin, let's see if we can get Scoochie in there. I'm going to check out the time. We probably will be able to, but just be on the ready. So what I have so far is Michelle J., Kathy from Ireland. Boy, I dropped your first initial or last name. Marilyn K. from Oregon. Kathy Z. from Washington. Aaron G. from New York. Sherry Jo C. from California. And Robin P. from, Florida for a little bit more. So good morning to you, Michelle J.
Good morning, everyone. Just taking my seat here from Arkansas. This is Michelle J., recovered and recovering every day by the grace of God. And reading this today, you know, it really hits home, and it's a good place to be. It says, there had been no fight. Well, where'd my fight go? And, you know, well, where was my high resolve now? Am I crazy? You know, this lack of perspective. You know, 2 years now I've been in OA and been with Vision and been recovered and still recovering every day. And when I think about those terms, I think, well, what's the matter with me? And I think, well, because I'm broken. And I shared that with somebody this morning. And I am broken. And I will always be broken. And it's okay. I need to own that I'm broken today. I need to own that when somebody makes something great for me for my birthday, that I don't have that resolve. I don't have it. I don't have the fight. My knower is broken. A normal, healthy eater in today that doesn't have what I have, I have a broken gauge. Somehow that's how I am, and it's okay. They can put things into perspective, and they can have a high resolve and keep it. And they don't have to fight like I do. They say, oh, I'm full, and they just get full. And they say, oh, you know, I'm allergic to peanuts, and I'm not going to eat peanuts. That's okay. You know, I have this brokenness. And, you know, I have to get up every day and say, I am broken, but God, you are not. And I have to call on him every day and every moment and all the time to have him give me the will to fight. Have him pour into me resolve and perspective and willingness. I need that. I don't have it. I'm broken, but he can give it to me. And I have to carry him with me in my pocket everywhere I go and ask him every day, because my knower is broken. I don't know how to handle food. I never will, but he can. And I just want to share that with people today, because that's where I am. And I hope that speaks to someone, and y'all have a great day. I'll pass with that one.
Thank you, Michelle J. That's Michelle J. from Arkansas. Kathy from Ireland, you're up next for 3 minutes.
Hello, my name is Kathy M. here in Ireland, and I'm a bulimic anorexic compulsive eater. It's my first time speaking on Vision for You. I'm new to Vision for You, and I just came to OA in April. So I guess I just kind of wanted to claim my seat, and I really appreciated hearing the comments and the reading. I'm actually sober in AA, so Bill's story is quite familiar, but applying it to food is somewhat hard, but I can see the similarities, especially that word, the high resolve. I can see that in me, especially with not having abstinence from my bulimia. It's like, you know, one more time and I won't do it again tomorrow, and then tomorrow comes, and that one idea of just tonight, like that's that one line, and there's no fight in me, you know, to not do anything, except for maybe share with a few other fellows, but always succumb to doing it again. And to hear that, you know, it's because I don't have that power. And so I just want to share that. I really did just want to listen, but I always feel like sometimes I need to say my name and claim my seat, otherwise I'll be a spectator a lot. And it just brings me to thinking of an event I have next week, which is a wedding, and with the food, and because I'm not recovered, the thought this morning was like, well, can you do just 1 week without behavior just to make it to the wedding, and after we'll think about it then, like the disease thinking. And that's like another old idea. So I just in sharing that. And, you know, I think that on that day I'll have some resources of being able to, I don't know, reach out and bring my higher power. But it just helps me to see and listen to you folks that I don't know. And I can't will this away on my own. So I'm thankful for the other fellowship, and I'm thankful for the big book here as well. And I didn't want to come because the easier, softer way is to just go and share my day and my problem in another meeting. But I know I need to be in the solution. That's the only thing that worked for me getting sober from alcohol and drugs. So I hope that was okay to share because I'm a newcomer. And thank you very much for letting me do that.
Thank you so much, Catherine M. And just a gentle reminder in the idea that we are compulsive overeaters and singleness of purpose, that we would just identify as compulsive overeaters only today. Thank you so much. We're glad that you are here and visiting with us. And
sorry about that.
And you did say you were new, so I kind of thought that I could take the liberty of gently being able to say that. And I appreciate your openness about that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Please continue to come and share. Don't be afraid ever to do that. Okay, so up next is, let's see, do we have Marilyn K next?
Hi,
that will be followed by Kathy Z.
Hello, I'm Marilyn K from Oregon, and I wasn't sure what I needed to say when I asked to say, but I know that I've been listening to the meeting for quite a number of months without speaking at all, and I thought it was important for me to, as part of my recovery, to share. I see myself as recovered, but my I can tell the difference between when I ask God to help me and when I don't do that before a meal. They get a little bit sloppy, and I need to reinforce, because I know that don't have the resolve. I know when I do well, it's when I ask God for help, and I'm very grateful for that help. I also am very sad because I had hoped my 46-year-old son would have the ability to turn to God for help with his compulsive overeating, but he had MS and compulsive eating, and he died 7 weeks ago. And I think if he would have been able to turn his life over to God, he would be here today. But that's part of what I'm working on. I have to have God help me with accept what is, and I can't. I know I couldn't do it, and so I do know that I need to just be able to deal with this moment and be able to ask God for the help, because I know God gives us the help. I'm frustrated because I don't have the resolve to go outside. We're in Oregon in fierce fires, and our smoke is so awful that we can't even go out of our house because it's so hazardous to our health. So I have a lot of things that I'm powerless over, but I am so grateful that I have God to help me, and I'm making a today, before I eat any of my thing in my mouth, I'm going to ask God for help, because I know I need that. And thank you for all the leaders and everybody that takes responsibility for this meeting, because it is a real lifeline for me, and I appreciate it. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Marilyn Kay from Oregon. Just a gentle reminder that we are on page 5 in Bill's story. We are unpacking paragraph 5 today, and it starts with, shortly afterward I came home drunk. And at the end, it seems to that we end with, seem near being just that. If we could raise our focus on finding what the directions are in that paragraph, that would be helpful. Thanks so much, everyone. I'm going to go on then to Kathy Z from Washington, and then Erin G from New York will follow her. Hi, Kathy.
Good morning. This is Kathy Z, recovered compulsive eater from Washington State. Marilyn, my condolences to you. So sorry for your loss. May God just continue to encourage you and bless you in your time of need. My high resolve, boy, did that fail me. Willpower, what is that? That does not work. I tried and tried and tried and tried, but then, you know, when I came into program, I had to come into program, and realized and made a decision
to turn my will and my life over to God, that surrendering to my God is what I had to do. I had to do that. And that was really strange for me because I always had this disconnect. God was up here. God loved me. I loved God. But could God really come in and make a difference for me? And so once I did surrender, then it just really started to change. And every morning I started to meditate and turn my will over to Him. And He just came right alongside me and became my protector. He became my protector with food. He became my intuition. He started to show me that there were other behaviors that I didn't even know about, that things I needed to stop doing, like snacking before I ate my dinner. And those were little intuitive thoughts that just started to come up. And it was like, wow, okay, God, I think this is you. And you're loving and protecting me and showing me the way. And I'm so thankful for that today. And so, you know, I've only been recovered for a short period of time. I've been in program for about 6 months, but He is constantly revealing new truths about my behaviors to me. And I'm just so grateful and so thankful for that. And it is because of this program. It's because I turn my life over every morning. I surrender every morning. I have to do that. That is my recovery. That is my life now. And I have my Father God, who's my protector, right there on the fire lines and helping me see and make changes in my life. And it is not my will. It is God's will that I be healthy and be the best person that I can be so that I can serve Him and others. So thank you so much for your fellowship. Thank you, everyone, for coming to this meeting. And thank you, Melanie, for your service.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Let's see. We're going to work with Aaron G. now from New York. And then if we have time, we'll go with Robin P. Wait a minute.
Thank you.
To go with Sherry after that. Sorry about that.
Thank you so much. This is Erin G. from Syracuse, New York, and thank you for letting me share. I so relate to this. Shortly afterwards, I came home drunk, and I'll never forget last year. I had lost 10 pounds, and I was so proud of myself. And my girlfriend said, come over for lunch. Came over. And then, of course, she handed me dessert, and I'm like, no, I can't eat. Oh, you can eat it, just one piece. And I took it, and I ate it. And I remember going home and eating and eating and eating, and I couldn't stop for a whole nother year. So, and I'm so grateful to OA because if it weren't for all of you, I'd still be in that place. And today, I have to say, because of OA and God, my higher power, that my dad's in the hospital, my sponsor's in the hospital, and I'm not overeating today. And I'm just so grateful for the program, because I believed in God before, but it showed me that I needed all of you to help me along this path. And just so grateful. And so I totally relate to Bill's story. And grateful to be on the right path today. And this morning I had another reminder. I tasted something and I didn't like it. And I threw it in the garbage. And it wasn't anything that it was, you know, food that I could eat. But I thought, that's a miracle, because before I would eat it anyways. So thank you for letting me share. And thank you for helping me along because of the recovery. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Erin G. from New York. I'm looking for actually Sherry Jo C. from California. Hi, Sherry Jo.
Hi. Oh, good morning. Thank you so very much. This is Sherry Jo C. from Southern California. Thanks to everybody for making the meeting possible today. You know, this paragraph actually combined with the sentence right before it is to me one of the most powerful parts of the big book. I'm just so grateful to be recovered. Did I say that? Recovered compulsive eater in Southern California. You know, what this part says to me in the big book is, you know, what he said before was, you know, he meant business. Even his wife thought he meant business. She was so happy. He meant business. This time it was going to be different. He meant business. He said, and so I did. And then the next paragraph, shortly afterward, I came home drunk. To me, this is the epitome of the disease for me. This was my experience with the disease. And to me, you know, one part of being a compulsive eater for me is, I mean, I'm recovered and I'm abstinent for the last 30 years, thanks to the grace of God in this program. But I will never be rendered perfect. None of us will. And I will tell you, I worship at the altar of control. I love control. I still do. I have to surrender it every day. And there's nothing more terrifying. There was nothing more terrifying for me than realizing, as Bill is realizing here, I had no breaks whatsoever. He's starting to realize this. You know, what do we say here? We can't stop once we start, and we can't stop from starting. He's starting to see he has these strange mental blank spots where everything just goes away, and all of a sudden he's drinking again. What's more terrifying than that, to realize I don't even have control over my own body or my own mind? You know, I say, yep, I'm going to walk down this street, and when I get to the corner, I'm going to turn left, and I'll be darned if I get to the end of the street and I turn right. And I don't even realize how it happened. You know, it's what my sponsor said to me years ago, my second sponsor. She said, it's when you realize you're eating against your own will. You want to stop and you can't. The total loss of control. And, you know, the beauty to me of this paragraph is that what we're seeing here is Bill is breaking down for us. You know, we can only share up to our own level of experience. But Bill, in being dragged through the absolute devastation of his disease right here, every single bit of his experience is going to get used. It's all going to get used, and he's going to be able to write the book. He's going to be able to meet Dr. Bob. They're going to be able to start recovering together. I mean, the groundwork is being laid here, and that, to me, is the beauty of this paragraph amidst all the devastation, that no matter what we go through, that it is ultimately going to be able to be used.
Signed.
So anyway, I'm just grateful to be able to share today and grateful to share on this section of the book. I'll pass.
Thank you, Sherry Jo C. from California. Robin P. from Florida, it looks like we have about 90 seconds. You want to take that?
Hey, hi. I missed what you said because I was unmuting.
I have less than 90 seconds. Can you want to take that much?
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
Hi,
okay, great.
Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida, soon to be in Tulum, Mexico. You know, wow, I just so identify with this, and I'm so grateful to be abstinent today and to be recovered today. I am so grateful because the memory of, you know, these could be my words. You know, I got it. I understood it. Then all of a sudden, I was binging my brains out and with my head in the bowl. How did that happen? And I remember thinking, how did this happen? It was like Russian roulette, and I was completely defenseless. And I love that this leads to the beginning of the second step. You know, what I see, was I crazy? Thank you, God, that you've restored me to sanity today, one day at a time. And I get to, you know, live in 10, 11, and 12. And I have a solution today so that I don't get caught off guard. I get to be of service to God and my fellows. I'm eternally grateful for this solution that does work every time. So God bless everybody. It was a very abstinent, blessed day. Thanks for letting me share. Thank you for your service now.
Thank you, Robin P. from Florida, for a little bit. Glad that you shared. And that would be the end part of the sharing piece of this particular big book study. We're going to move on to some other wonderful, exciting things as we finish out to the top of the hour, so stay with us for that. Thank you so much for everyone that was of service here today on A Vision for You Big Book Study. So grateful that you're here, especially to the team that makes this particular day possible and this meeting can happen and turn on the lights and pull out the chairs each day. What I'd like to do is ask Laura R. to please read our closing today, page 164 of the Big Book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. And then after that, we'll follow that with the Serenity Prayer, if y'all want to join in. And then we'll move into greeting newcomers, getting sponsor contact information, and giving announcements after the recording has stopped. Good morning, Laura R.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you so much. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you in